Welcome into the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. With me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Get all of his picks at FatJackSports.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam A. I already said that. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. I think I already said that.
Just so I'm saying it again. In case they weren't listening.
Yeah, that's fine. In case they weren't listening at the start 3 seconds ago. But listen, I'm excited, and there's a right to be excited for what we're about to talk about here, Jordan, because not only do we have a pretty good fight card to talk about this weekend for UFC Seattle, but there is a ton of news for the news dog to be barking about that Dana White dropped earlier this week when he went on like Instagram Live for some reason. He was just like, hey, I'm going to go live and announce a bunch of fights.
Yeah, that was one right after the other, and a lot to be excited about. Rumors and either confirmed fights for the next three pay-per-views. The most important thing for me, and I'm not going to our boy, I can't. I'm going personal. I'm going selfish here, Abdallah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the fact that we've got a champion that is relinquishing his title to pursue a championship in another weight class. Thank the Lord we're not dealing with dual champs holding up divisions.
Yeah.
Ilia Topuria making, and I don't really like him. He kind of rubs me the wrong way, but I'm a fan now because he made the decision. He no longer wants to compete at 145. He's not going to defend that championship. He's going to relinquish that championship and pursue a gold at 155 pounds. Thank you so much, Ilia Topuria, for making that decision and going and trying to do something that's never been done before.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's good. It's good for him to do that. And it's good that he is going to, you know, relinquish that belt, not hold us up stuff like you said. And it means that we get to see a great fight at UFC 314. These were announced, like I said, by Dana White, all of these fights, and this card looks great. So the title fight for the vacant title at featherweight will be Alexander Volkanovski and Diego Lopez. It's going to be great. That's a great fight.
I mean, Volkanovski getting his due, you know, credit where credit is due, even though he lost pretty violently to Ilia Topuria. He was a longstanding champion, so he gets thrown right back into the mix at 145 pounds and absolutely against a guy that's been on fire of late, winner of his last five fights in a row, including his dominating performance at UFC Noche against Brian Ortega and the victory over, obviously, Dan Ige on that crazy short-notice three-hour window fight at UFC 303. But this guy's looked great. He has looked phenomenal at featherweight, so we're going to get a new champion at 145 pounds. And the co-main event ain't too bad either. Michael Chandler, Paddy Pimblett. Chandler, thank God he gets a good fight. You know, he gets a fight that's going to draw a lot of attention. He was supposed to make boatloads of money in a fight against Conor McGregor. He trained, what, he set up for, what, 2 years, I think, waiting for that fight.
Mm-hmm.
And look, Pimblett's not at the level, certainly, of a Conor McGregor, and certainly he won't make as much money. But the fact that he's going to fight co-main event, five rounds, in Miami, so South Florida, his home, his adopted home, if you will, against Paddy the Batty, a guy that like people are going to care about. Like, you know, you survey the halls at ESPN Chicago, like Carmen DeFalco knows who Paddy Pimblett is.
Oh yeah,
you know, and I know that too because that's the one time they had me on the air.
Yes,
pretty cool.
Yeah,
so thank you for that. But like, but bottom line is, it's like a major fight for both of those guys. You know, in a division where Islam Makhachev has essentially, you know, basically cleared out that division. There aren't too many guys that you're looking at are rightful title challengers. You know, I could argue Paddy Pimblett goes out there and looks impressive against Michael Chandler. He's 7-0 in the division and could be right in the mix for a title shot.
Yeah, so Michael Chandler doesn't get to fight Conor McGregor, so he's going to face future Conor McGregor in Paddy Pimblett, right? Like, that's kind of the trajectory. Like, I don't mean with all of the legal issues and kind of that kind of stuff, but Paddy... But no, that's not what I mean. I mean that, like, this guy is, the way his persona is, the way that he's tracking, the way that he's getting these, I mean, he's on a co-main event now. We were talking about him on prelims a year ago, you know? So, like, the fact that he's gotten this far, this fast, like, they're obviously pushing him to be in this spot. So if he wins, Yeah, you're right. He's definitely going to be either next in a title contention fight or maybe even a title fight. You don't step back after being a co-main event.
No, no. I mean, it's only going up from there. So that, you know, I'm excited.
I just mean like in terms of popularity of Conor McGregor.
Well, I mean, if he gets knocked out like in 30 seconds, like I'm not sure, you know, what where Patty goes, you know, after that. But yeah, you're right. I mean, he's
if he wins, I'm saying if he wins this fight, that's the next trajectory.
Yeah, the UFC wants him. I mean, they need these stars. They need these guys. Although, you know, at the end of the day, I guess you could argue they've been doing fine without any stars. Because since Conor McGregor, I can't think of one that's gotten there. We've teased about people that can be that, like Kayla Harrison could be that, Tom Aspinall could be that, Ilia Topuria could be that, but no one is ever, I think going to reach the level of, you know, magnitude and popularity and needle mover like Conor McGregor did, you know, during his 3 to 4 year run for sure.
Yeah, okay, so that's UFC 314. We then move on. We got even more news, and it's local news. I'll call it local news here. Our guy, Bilal Muhammad, is going to defend his title against Jack De La Maddalena at UFC 315 in Montreal. I'm surprised they didn't want him to fight next month, because next month is Ramadan, and that's usually what the UFC does to Bilal. They're like, oh, yeah, you want to fight in 2 weeks? You're going to fight hungry? Sure. Yeah, just fight when we tell you to. No, so he gets a decent time to prepare for this. UFC 315 is May 10th, like I said, in Montreal. And for once, at least the look ahead line right now, Bilal's actually a favorite, which is weird for him.
Yeah.
A heavy favorite, too.
Yeah, for him it's weird, and it's a winnable fight. I mean, JD3 has obviously looked impressive. You know, he's undefeated in his UFC mixed martial arts career, known primarily as a striker. You know, looked good in his last fight, which is in the third round. He was losing a fight. We were on Gilbert Burns the last time JD3 was in there, but. I like this fight for Bilal. I think this is a very winnable fight for Bilal. I wouldn't have felt the same way if it was Shavkat Rakhmonov, but he's hurt. So JDM comes in there, and it's a winnable fight. I wish, you know, I kind of wish he was being forced to fight a Ramadan, because the rumor is that UFC 316 is going to be in Chicago.
Yeah, there's a loose rumor that it's going to be in Chicago.
Right.
I'll see some other things.
I'll see when I see it.
Yeah, you know, I did see some other things that it was also promised to another city. I mean, the date isn't even on the schedule yet. There's a schedule for 317. There isn't even a date.
And 315, they're kind of like skipping. So
yeah.
That's why it would have even made more sense for Bilal to be on the headliner. We're just going to skip this pay-per-view.
Exactly.
Not at all. And it's going to like, you know, be in an empty arena and, you know, a dark match. But yeah, good for him to get that fight. And I'll tell you this too: a sleeper fight on that card that's been announced is Benoit Saint Denis versus Joel Alvarez. That fight's going to be fucking bonkers.
Okay,
if it does come to fruition, and it'll probably be in the prelims, or maybe it'll be open up the main card. But that fight is sick. And look, I mentioned Gilbert Burns, and you know, obviously he's a former title challenger.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Morales is on that card against Gilbert Burns. Morales has been viewed as kind of a next guy at 170. He's undefeated, so big challenge for him to prove that he is worthy of being in that same, you know, conversation of the Ian Garys, the Bilal Muhammads, the Jack Della Maddalenas, Shavkat Rakhmonovs of the world.
Yeah, I mean, what a day for the news. You and I were texting back and forth. What a day for the news, dog.
You know, it's unfortunate. You know, a couple other quickies. This is real, you know, it's like Carlos Prates doesn't get his fight with Colby Covington,
mm-hmm.
But he is on that UFC 314 card. So it'll be an interesting fight for him. Another guy at 170 that is kind of new and in the mix. And then also a guy that was a former champion, two-divisional champion, Patricky Pitbull, is signed to the UFC apparently, and he will be making his UFC debut at UFC 314 as well in Miami.
All right, so we'll keep our eye on that and preview that when we get to it. We're also going to, you know, I'll put the call into Bilal to preview this fight once we get a little bit closer to the date, because we're still, what, like 3 months away from it, from UFC 315?
Right.
So we got some time to get a hold of Bilal before then. So let's talk about this UFC fight night. This is going to take place in Seattle, Washington, Should be a pretty decent card. It's got a lot of big names on it. Some heavy favorites, though, but hopefully we can find some value here as we start to go through this. We're going to go through our first fight here. Julius Walker, plus 200, the underdog against Alonzo Menifield at minus 250. Menifield went 4-0-1 during a five-run fight from 2022 to 2023. He's dropped two straight, so he needs a win here. And then Julius Walker, he's 6-0. Including some regional title fights, I guess. His name is Juicebox. I love that. I love that his name is Juicebox. His nickname. That's a quality nickname, Juicebox.
He's immediately thrust into the top 15, top 10 maybe of nicknames.
Yeah, absolutely. He had four wins in 2024, so this should be, you know, he comes in, I guess. Juicebox is plus 200, the underdog here. What do you think of this first fight main card?
Interesting opener for sure. What, you know, how much does Alonzo Menifield have left? You know, he's always been known as kind of super, you know, great athlete, knockout power, been in the UFC for quite some time, but does he still have it left because he's been knocked out now twice in a row? He's, you know, getting up there in age, 37 years of age. And Juicebox, you know, I think that the most interesting thing about him is just the athleticism. You know, this is a college, you know, former college basketball player. I think I was listening to the Anakin Florian podcast, and they were talking about that this guy scored like 3,000 points in high school in basketball. So, the guy's an athlete. Like, he can play. Does it translate?
They're not playing horse.
No,
they're fighting.
They're fighting. Yeah, okay, fine. But he's an athlete.
Okay,
like he's an athlete. He's a taller, light heavyweight. He's going to have, I think, a 6-inch reach advantage. He's primarily known as a ground fighter. So I think the question remains is, like, can he hold up to Menifield, who's going to come out like a bat out of hell? He's going to have something to prove. Doesn't want to be that gatekeeper and a guy that's been in the UFC and had several fights versus a guy that's making its debut. I question if Walker can handle the pressure, the power that Alonzo Menifield has. So actually, the way that I'm looking at this fight, and I think it's nearly a pick'em, or if it's not, it's you know, maybe a little bit of plus money, is on the under at 1.5. I mean, I just – too many question marks about Alonzo Menifield still having it, you know, and he's been submitted before too. But can a guy like Julius Walker, Juicebox, handle the squeeze like that?
Did you think of that earlier?
No.
Credit where credit's due. All right, yeah. That's good. I like that.
Thank you.
I
totally would have admitted if I wrote that. I write stuff down, but I don't write that material.
That's fair.
If he could handle, you know, like just the power that Alonzo Menifield.
I'm seeing 1.5 at about minus 110.
Yeah, I think that's a smart move. I think we're going to get a finish in this fight. I think it's going to come one direction or the other. I wouldn't be surprised if either fighter is successful. I've heard a lot of people actually small plays on Walker just because Menifield, they think, is done. Walker looked good on the regional scene. He's got that athleticism. He could score buckets in basketball, so why not pick him to win the fight?
Yeah, both knockouts here. Menifield by knockout plus 130. Walker by knockout plus 460. Menifield by sub plus 480. Menifield by points plus 550.
I mean, look, I think if you're on the Walker side, or excuse me, on the Menifield side, take him by KO. Like, get that plus money because – you know, there's question marks, you know, obviously, about Walker in the chin, just being able to handle, you know, that type of power that Menifield. I just don't think a three-round, you know, sludge fight is going to happen. I think we're going to get a quick finish here. So I'm on the under if you're on Menifield. And I probably would lean Walker, but if you're on the Menifield side, take him by KO.
All right, our next fight here, Gene Silva against Melsik Bagdasarian. Bagdasarian plus 390 on the money line. Silva minus 550, a huge favorite. I know you love this, which is why I highlight it. Silva is from the Fighting Nerds. Huh?
Great. Huh? You know, and look, I was just talking about Michael Morales. I think he comes from that camp. I talked about Kyle Barajo last week on the podcast, another guy in the middleweight division that's making some noise. And this guy at featherweight is absolutely making some noise. John Silva was talking about the fact that, like, when the Fight Nerds come to a fight week, they bring like 1,200 like pairs of like glasses for like them all to wear, because they wear them at everything. They wear them at the media day. They wear them at the training. They wear them to the, you know, so whatever the number is, it's ridiculous. And this guy has looked great. Like, this guy, a lot of people are very high on because he's very well-rounded. Yes, he came from the Dana White Contender Series, but he's undefeated. He's continued to evolve. I mean, you know, back-to-back wins over Charles Jourdain and Drew Dober. You know, certainly not guys that are in the top 15 of the featherweight division, but very good, well-talented fighters that have been in the UFC, and he stopped both of them. Jourdain with a punch, Drew Dober, Dr. Stoppage. This is an interesting fight that, like, on the trajectory, like, this is the next guy that's in line for John Silva because, you know, Bagdasarian's been in the UFC since 2020. He just hasn't fought consistently. You know, he fought once in 2020. Yes, twice in 2021, but then he didn't fight until 2023. It was a loss in Perth to Joshua Cabal and then, you know, Tucker Lutz in his last fight. So not really a lot of notable names. But here's the thing that I'm looking at. It's stylistically, it's an intriguing fight. Bagdasarian also accomplished kickboxer. It's going to work at range, kind of look to outpoint John Silva. So I think Silva's going to have to either decide to, like, go into the fire, maybe the phone booth, if you will, and hunt for the knockout, or kind of play Bagdasarian's game and try and win a point fight. So the way to look at it, even though I think John Silva, heavy favorite. What is he, minus 550, minus 600 in some books? I mean, people are expecting it. A lot of it has to do with, A, his last two performances, B, the fact that Bagdasarian has not been consistent. And when he's done, he hasn't been looked that great. But I think, different than what I just talked about with Menafield and Walker, we're getting actually a fight that's going to go into the later rounds. You know, a fight that Silva's not going to be able to exploit the fireworks. And by the way, those last two guys, you know them, Dober and Jourdain, like fireworks fights, like entertaining fights. I don't think we're getting that with Bagdasarian. So I want tremendous value, and I've already released the Fat Jack picks. We're recording this Friday afternoon. Fat Jack picks are already out. I've got two plays on this fight card. Two specific plays on this fight, and I think we're going into the later rounds of this fight.
Oh, wow. Okay, so if we go to total rounds here, you think an over 2.5 at plus 110?
I think that's certainly worth a look, yes.
Okay, all right. Silva, okay, so if we look at method of victory here, Silva by knockout, plus 105, Silva by points, plus 220, Bagdasarian by points, plus 700, and Silva by submission, plus 750.
I mean, that second method of victory for Silva, I just think, like, we're going to get a kickboxing match. We're going to get a fight where Bagdasarian's going to play from the outside, and Silva's going to have to hunt viciously for the knockout, and I'm not sure even if he can land something is going to be able to land it and land it in an instance where he could end the fight because Bagdasarian's experience in the combat sports realm and with the kickboxing. So I think maybe at plus 250, getting a guy that's a minus 600 favorite to plus 250 could be a direction to go.
All right. Our next fight here, Rob Font against John Matsumoto. Matsumoto minus 160, the favorite. Font plus 130. Font is 1-2 in his last three fights. He won his last fight, a unanimous decision over Kyler Phillips. And Matsumoto won each of his first two appearances. He has 16-0 as a professional. So he is undefeated and minus 160 as the favorite.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a short notice fight. First and foremost, this fight card was actually ravaged by injuries, and you know, a couple fights booked on this card were actually put together this week. This is a short notice fight. This is a fight that's not, you know, being contested at the typical 145 pounds that Rob Font has made a career at, but he or even bantamweight, the bantamweight division is actually where he was. This fight's being contested at a higher weight class. And for me, Rob Font still has it. And he showed it in his last fight against Kyler Phillips, a guy that a lot of people were high on, thought that maybe he could be, you know, a future title contender. And prior to that, like, Rob Font went five rounds with Deiveson Figueiredo. We know how good that dude is. Or three rounds, I should say. And then five rounds with Corey Sandhagen. And we know how good that dude is. I mean, both losses, sure. But Rob Font still, I think, has the chin on him. He still fights at a tremendous pace. He still fights with great boxing, good cardio, good toughness. And, you know, against a guy in Matsumoto, yeah, he's undefeated. But, you know, yeah, he looked good in LFA. Most people do in LFA. That's why that organization is where it is. But since that point, you know, look, Brad Katana, you know, three rounds with him, Tanner, like, he hasn't been beating guys that, like, I think are at Rob Font's level. And I think Rob Font also a very difficult guy to prepare for if you're taking it on short notice. So what I'm getting at is I like the O to go. I think Rob Font at plus money is very, very juicy. especially with the short notice fight, especially because I just know how versatile he is, the veteran gamesmanship that he's going to bring inside this. So I think Rob Font at plus money is the way to go.
All right, Rob Font at plus 130. I like it. Method of victory here, Matsumoto by points plus 125, Font by points plus 220. So Vegas thinks this is going to go to the judges' scorecard. Matsumoto by sub plus 700, and Font by knockout plus 700.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure any other method of victory is great or not. So I think you take Font, you take him at the plus money, and just call it a day.
All right, yeah, I like that. Plus 130 on the money line. We'll write that down. All right, our next fight, Brandon Allen against Anthony Hernandez. Hernandez minus 320 and Allen plus 245 on the money line. And this is technically a rematch. These guys fought 7 years ago, not in the UFC under a different banner, but they did fight 7 years ago. Allen has had his 7-fight winning streak snapped his last fight out, so he's 7-1, but he did lose a 3-round decision to Nasruddin Imavov back in UFC Paris. And Hernandez started 1-2 in his UFC career, but he's won 6 straight since. So you've got a guy who's who lost his last fight, and then a guy who's won 6 straight, and Hernandez minus 320, a heavy favorite, and a rematch.
Yeah, a rematch. Not a lot of people are noticing that it is a rematch, but yeah, they did.
I noticed these things, though, mostly because other websites write them, but I noticed it.
Good. I'm glad you did. And look, it was an LFA. Just mentioned LFA. Again, another example of just that organization doing a great job of, turning fighters over into the UFC. And look, I think we're getting a mirror image of that fight. And that mirror image of the fight is both guys showcased their grappling. Both guys showcased evolving striking. And certainly it's been better than it was 7 years ago. But I think, both guys are going to look to establish their grappling. Brendan Allen wants to take your back during that 7-fight win streak. I think 5 or 6 of them have come via rear naked choke. Striking, evolving. Hernandez with his striking, it's pressure. It's using the striking as a means to an end to get a takedown. And when he does, it's top pressure. It's laying heavy, and it is hunting for submissions. The guys that have caused Anthony Hernandez issues before have been guys that can outstrike him, can hurt him on the feet. And Anthony Hernandez then is, either threatened by that or is, deterred to go to a second or a third kind of a way to win fights. But I think he's evolving that. And I think that Brendan Allen does not concern him when it comes to the stand-up. And I actually think Brendan Allen might be not as good of a striker as one Anthony Hernandez. And we've also talked about before, Brendan Allen has made some brain fart of mistakes inside the octagon that have cost him fights. So what I'm getting at, though, is I think that we are seeing a heavy grappling exchange between the two. I think both guys will be able to defend a lot of the takedowns. This is a fight where I'm going to take the price down on Anthony Hernandez, do a little bit of a parlay, and say over 2.5 and Anthony Hernandez to win the fight. I think we move the price on Hernandez from minus 350, minus 320 to like $1.40, $1.30. And I like that value in Anthony Hernandez. I think he's going to win a decision.
All right. So, yeah, if we look at that, Hernandez by points is plus 115 right now, I'm seeing. Hernandez by submission, plus 380. Allen by points, plus 470. And Hernandez by knockout, plus 550. But you like Hernandez by points at that plus 115.
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, I guess saying that Hernandez to win and over at 2.5 is not going to be the same price as Hernandez via decision. I'm just playing now with that final 230 for him to hunt and get a finish. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think both guys have very, pretty good cardio. Hernandez probably a little bit better than Brendan Allen. So Hernandez via decision is fine with me at plus money.
All right, we will take it. And then finally, our main event here for UFC Seattle, Henry Cejudo against Song Yadong. And Song Yadong is a big favorite here, minus 280 against Cejudo's plus 220. Cejudo lost his last 2 fights, but they were guys that are pretty good, Aljamain Sterling and Merab Dvashvili. So, I wouldn't hold it against him. Yeah. and Yadong has gone 5-2 in his last 7 outings. But again, those two, Corey Sandhagen and Peter Yan. So again, like, these guys lose, but like not to scrubs. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, top heap. I just question them, like, what's the motivation for Henry Cejudo? Like, why, you know, after about a year? I mean, look, he last fought February 17th, 2024. So, like, what, the year layoff, and now at 38 years of age against a guy that's, like, not in the top five of this division, what's the motivation? What's the reasoning behind you fighting? Is it just purely for money? Or is the competitive juices from a guy? And granted, this guy is a competitor of competitors. I mean, he's an Olympic gold medalist in wrestling, like, before he became and transitioned completely to the UFC and mixed martial arts. And, oh, by the way, handed Demetrius Johnson his first loss. That was a huge deal when it occurred back then. And this guy, if he could work takedowns and continue in every round, get a takedown, yeah, Henry Cejudo is your guy, and he's going to win the fight because he just understands what it takes to win and win and pull a guy into deep waters. I just don't know if he could do it now at this age, if he could push that pace. And, you know, Yadong is evolving, certainly as a fighter. Dude can thump for sure. He's gotten better at his takedown defenses. He obviously, under the tutelage of Uriah Faber and that you know, awesome Team Alpha Male camp, certainly helps. I also like the fact that there's a couple other guys from that camp competing on this card, like Andre Feely. That helps as well. I always love it when you get, you know, two or three guys from the same camp competing on the same card. But I just think that there's the value on Yadong not there at, what, minus 260, minus 230 in some places. Mm-hmm. So just as I was talking about, but because we've got five rounds to play with and not three with the Hernandez Brennan Allen fight, I'm going the same direction and going to get that price down. Yadong to win over 2.5. So now I think that moves that line from 260 to 140. I think Yadong's going to win the fight. He should. He's, what, 11 years younger. He hits hard. Not sure if Cejudo can still handle a punch. I don't think Cejudo can push the pace, push the takedowns like he has in the past. So I like Yadong to win the fight. Let's get that price down to $1.40 for him to win, plus under or over 2.5.
All right, so him to win and then over 2.5 at plus 140. We've got Hernandez by points. We've got Rob Font money line, Silva over 2.5, and Menifield over under 1.5 right there at minus 110. Anything? We don't have a parlay and anything else on the prelims, and I also don't have a prop of the night.
Well, let's go. We could easily get the prelims going, so or the parlay going. Yadong, Hernandez, Silva. Where does that get us to start?
Plus 110.
Okay. Let's get one more in there. So there's question marks about Ivo Asian and the Kudelava fight. So I'm not. Yeah. No. He's just such a wild card, man. The other ones are huge favorites. Like, obviously, I think Malik's going to win the fight. He's going to knock out
Nick
Klein.
He's minus 1,250
favorite. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But those three are fine. Plus 110. Let's go.
Even if by knockout, it's minus 230 for Malik.
Yeah.
I'll throw that in there. Plus 200.
Okay.
Malik by knockout, Silva money line, Hernandez money line, Yadong money line.
Perfect.
Watch that's the one that loses, is the one that I threw in there.
Right, exactly.
That's going to be the one.
Always ruining things for us.
Yeah. I don't have a prop of the night. I'm not going to force it. I just don't. I'm sorry.
Wait, but you did cash last week, right?
Yes.
What was your prop of the night last week?
Yes. Okay. But again, like, I was going to do Silva by knockout, but you kind of talked me out of it a little bit. So I don't like it as much anymore. I was going to do Yadong by just not money line, but by points at plus 130. But then you get the extra juice with the over 2.5 and to win. So I'll do that. I'll go with you. That's my prop of the night.
The Yadong to win and over 2.5.
And over 2.5, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, at plus 140. That's the prop of the night. That's it. All right, he's Jordan Sherwood. Get all of his picks, fatjacksports.com. Follow him on Twitter, at WinOnESPN1000. I'm Adam Abdallah. Like I said at the beginning, you can follow me on Twitter. I think I said it twice. You can follow me on Twitter, at Adam A. Abdallah. A lot of news today. We do have, what do we have next week? Let me see. What do we got next week? We got a good card next week?
Let's see. We got, Manel Kopp.
Okay.
And who's Asu Almabayev. No, okay. It's not a good card.
No? All right. No. Cody Brundage?
Cody Brundage is in the co-main event.
Nasrat Haqparast? Come on.
Well, he's cool, but, like, I don't... No, this fight card sucks.
Yeah. See, this fight card today is good, like the one that's tomorrow, like Dana White needs to wait until next week to release all those fights. So we have something more to talk about other than a good card. But we'll figure something out for next week. Like I said, he's Jordan Sherwood. I'm Adam Abdallah. Thank you for listening to the Unnamed MMA Podcast. We'll talk to you next week.